We've been using the sun last week and this week to say, look how big and how grand God is. Those are actual pictures of the sun, actual videos of the sun from the NASA website. And so when we see how big that is, how huge that is, and last week I said, I want you to have a visual aid all week long of this huge, hot Houston sun up in the sky, and then all week long it rained and it was cloudy, so it kind of ruined it for me. But even in the midst of the clouds, it was still there, wasn't it? You never doubted whether or not the sun was there. And sometimes in our lives, in the midst of our trials, in the midst of our battles, it can be cloudy and we can doubt if God's really there. But just because you can't see the sun, you know it's still there. Just because you don't see God in everything, you know that he's still there. And so the sun is so powerful, it's so strong, it illustrates so much. The sun is like a hydrogen bomb. Every second, 4 million tons of hydrogen are destroyed with explosions near its core. They start somewhere near its core and they keep going up. If you were to look into the core of the sun, if you could get down there, they think that it is 13 million degrees centigrade in the core of the sun. If you were to get just the core of the sun, the heat off the core of the sun, and you were to put it on a pinhead, it would give off enough heat to kill a man 1 million miles away. That's how powerful it is. 93 million miles away, the heat from the core on a pinhead would kill a man 1 million miles away. And God says in Psalm 84 that he is the sun, he is a shield. He's saying, I am so powerful, I am so great. He is the creator of the sun, and not just the sun, but every other star you see in the sky. And the sun's really not even one of the biggest ones, our sun. And so we're going to see God today in Joshua chapter 10. We're going to see him fight for the people of Israel. And we're going to use that to understand that he fights for us as well. And here's what he's going to do. He's going to stop the sun in the middle of the sky and he's going to extend a day. God who created the sun, God who darkened the sun when Christ died on the cross, he's going to stop it in the middle of the sky. We know that's a rotational thing with the earth, but it's going to appear that it has just stood still in the sky. That's how powerful he is. So if you got a Bible, I want you to turn to Joshua chapter 10. Joshua chapter 10 is where we are. I want to welcome all of our campuses, downtown Espanol, Siena, and Cyprus. Siena, I'm going to be with you this evening at the Siena Splash Fest. I'm going to be there with you guys, so I'll get to see y'all later on today. And it's just great to connect all over the city, and even those that are listening on radio or watching on the webcast. Joshua 10 is where we're going to be, and we're going to look at this battle of where the sun stood still in the sky. So grab your listening guide so you can take some notes. Grab a Bible if you got one, and if not, we'll put it up on the screens, and we're going to look at the sun to be able to see where it stood still. Let's look at verse 7 of chapter 10. Well, let me actually give you a little background. Here's what's happening in the book of Joshua. Joshua's a lot of fighting. It's a lot of battle. So you could read Joshua and you could be like, man, these people, I mean, I thought this God was nice. He's like, everybody's getting killed all the time. It'd be like looking back into just one chapter of American history and you look back at World War II and they went, oh my goodness, these people are always at war. No, that's just the history we're looking at that moment. So that's what we're looking at, and Joshua's been conquering all these battles he's been going through, and there's these kings that get afraid of Joshua, and they band together, and they say, we got to get together. The five Amorite kings, they come together, and they say, we're going to attack this city that's close where Joshua is. We're going to attack that so we can get a stronghold, so we can hold tight, everybody, and we're going to see God's going to say, no, you're fighting against me. It's better for God to fight for you than you to fight against him. If you fight against him, you will lose. If you let him fight for you, then you will win in many different ways. So Joshua chapter 10, verse 7 is where we'll be. Here's what it says. So Joshua and all of his troops, including all of his best soldiers, so this isn't a ragtag bunch, this is his best soldiers, came from Gilgal. Then the Lord said to Joshua, do not be afraid of them, for I have handed them over to you. Not one of them will be able to stand against you. So Joshua caught them by surprise after marching all night from Gilgal. The Lord threw them into confusion before Israel. He defeated them in a great slaughter at Gibeon, and he chased them through the ascent of Beth Horon and struck them down as far as Azekah and to Makedekah. And as they fled from before Israel, the Lord threw large hailstones on them. Aren't you glad you came to church today? From the sky, along the descent of Beth Horon, all the way to Azekah. And they died, and more of them died from the hail than from the Israelites killed with this, than the Israelites killed with the sword. So here we have God fighting for them, Joshua coming up from a battle I'll tell you about in just a second, and we're going to see, just as it says in verse 8, they're not going to be able to stand against him, and they're going to fight, but God's going to fight for them. Now let's do something before we get to this. Let's properly define what a battle is. I'm going to give you three different categories. There's inconveniences in life, there's challenges in life, and there's battles in life. Inconveniences are your luxuries and your comforts kind of get pushed away. Oh, the cable's out again. Why can't that guy come on time to fix the plumbing? Why can't we get this? This line is so long. Why don't they open another register? And so we end up with inconveniences in our life, and sometimes we're like this, right? The more abundance you have, the less sacrifice you have, the more in the conveniences will be aggravating. The more abundance you have, the less sacrifice you have, the more that you will be aggravated with inconveniences. And you'll get where your whole life is about lines are too long and traffic's too much and it's too hot and it's this and it's that, all these different things. And the inconveniences will drive you crazy. And what'll happen, don't be like this. We've all met people like this. As you get older, you'll get a whole lot less fun to be around. Because at some point, the filter between I think it and I say it will be missing, okay? And then you'll just say it and say it and say it until people go, I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear it. There's inconveniences in life. And you know what? The truth is, where we live and the time in which we live a luxurious life better than kings of the past. And yet we're so aggravated with our inconveniences because we've got so much abundance, we have so little sacrifice, we're always aggravated. That's an inconvenience when your creature comforts and your luxuries get kind of thrown to the side for a bit. Number two would be challenges. There's challenges in life. There's hurts. There's hassles. There's stuff that just comes with life. There's bills that come. There's rude people in life. There's mean people in life. There's incompetent people in life. There's people that surround you and different things that you feel like you're doing all the work and that guy's not doing all the work a few cubicles down. There's things that are just, they're challenges. They're difficult. It's tough. Marriage can be tough. Parenting can be tough. It can be a challenge. But then third, there's battles. Battles are where you're going to either move forward or backwards through this. It's a time you're either going to go move forward or you're going to move backwards. Inconveniences, challenges, those are kind of side to sides. But forward or backwards, you're in a time of grief, hurt, depression, anxiety. Are you going to move forward or are you going to move backwards? You're in a time of financial strain. Things are difficult. How's it going to be? What am I going to do? How am I going to honor the Lord with this? Am I going to move forward in this or am I going to move backwards in this? Your marriage has moved past a challenge. It's a battle now. And you're starting to think thoughts you never thought you would think about trying to get out of this thing called marriage. Are you going to move forward or are you going to move backwards? Parenting is a battle right now. Are you going to move forward? Are you going to move backwards? Not by just your willpower, but by God's strength. Do you see the difference in an inconvenience and a battle? It's different, isn't it? So God is going to show us here, and I'm going to give you in just a moment, four things about God fighting for you in the battle, because that's what we need. We don't want to fight against God. We want God to fight for us. So the first point that I have for you, this is hopefully what you got out of just reading the scripture. Great news, God fights for us. Great news, God fights for us. I'll give you a couple scriptures. The Lord your God, Deuteronomy chapter 1, the Lord your God who goes before you will fight for you, just as you saw him do for you in Egypt. Deuteronomy 20, for the Lord your God is one who goes with you to fight for you against your enemies to give you the victory. Deuteronomy 3:22. Do not be afraid of them, for the Lord your God fights for you. 2 Chronicles 20, verse 15, and then 17. Do not be afraid or discouraged because of this vast number, for the battle is not yours. You will not have to fight this battle. So I could go on verse after verse after verse after verse. But God will fight for us. God is for us. God is with us. I'm reading a book right now called The Burden Bearer by Paul Chappell. And on page 40, it tells a story of a man that unfortunately his wife passed away. And he was bringing his little son back from the funeral. And so they came back from the funeral. And he thought that first night it might make the son, the little boy, feel better if he was to sleep with dad. And so they got in the same bed together, just kind of comfort one another. And the little boy began asking difficult questions. So he asked a question. He started asking hard questions. He said, "Daddy, where's mommy? Daddy, when's mommy coming back?" And then after a few moments of silence in the dark, the child reached out his hand and he grabbed the dad's face. He said, "Daddy, is your face toward me? Is your face toward me?" And just knowing his dad was looking at him gave him the comfort that he needed to fall asleep that night. I want you to hear me. God's face is towards you. It's towards you. He wants to fight for you. He wants abundant life in you. He doesn't want everything to be perfect, though. That's not what I'm saying. He's not trying to take care of the inconveniences or even the challenges. He's trying to take care of the battle. And sometimes the growth is in the circumstance we face, and sometimes the growth is in us. See the difference? Sometimes it's in the circumstance we face. Sometimes the growth is in us. And if we will know and begin this thought that his face is toward us, in the darkest of challenges, in the darkest of battles, even in the little bitty inconveniences, if God's face is toward us, even when the sun seems shielded by the clouds, God's face is towards you. He's towards you in the battle. He's for you in the battle. But that doesn't mean every circumstance is going to turn around. Because you know, if every circumstance turned around as quick as we want it, what would happen? We'd quit trusting God, wouldn't we? But instead, he takes us through it to be able to say, "I want you to journey through it." So I want you to know the first thing is that you've got to realize, and I've got to realize, he wants to grow something in us, not just change things around us. Sometimes he moves the mountain. Sometimes he moves us. That's how he does it. That's how he moves through it. Now, he does three things in this passage for the people. He gives confusion to the enemy. He throws hailstones from the sky. And then he also makes the sun sit still in the sky. He prolongs the day. God fighting for you is huge. It is crucial. Now, I've only been in one fist fight my entire life, okay? And I decided at that point, I am not good at this. And I'm not doing this anymore. So I was a grade school guy, and so I got and started having words with this one guy. He was a little bit bigger guy. I think he was a fourth grader who shaved, you know. And, you know, I was a 12th grader that didn't shave, okay? So I had a long time of going on that. And so I'm talking, and I'm thinking maybe I can get out of this with just acting strong, right? So I'm giving all this lip, till finally he's like, "I had enough." Bam, he punches me in the face. And aren't you feel sorry for me at this point? I get hit right there. I'm like, "Oh my goodness." I hit the ground. He jumps on top of me. He starts just pounding away. All the kids are there in the schoolyard watching this happen until one of my friends comes, grabs him, pulls him off, and punches him. Shannon, my friend, which was a boy. I want to be clear. Shannon, that was a boy, big, burly, strong boy, pulls him off and starts beating this kid up. And then I jump up, I was going to get you next time, man. You know, let me tell you how good it was for Shannon, the boy, to fight for me, to fight for me. I didn't have the strength. I didn't have the skill. I didn't have the wisdom. I didn't have any of that. And he fought for me and he rescued me. And that's what God's done for us as believers in Christ in tremendous times, a million, times 10 million, 100 million, whatever you want to call it. God has rescued and he's fought the battle of sin and he's fought the battle of peace for stress. He's fought all those things so that we can lay our burdens at him because he cares for us. Now, let me show you four things of how God fights for us, how we can position ourselves to be ready for God to fight for us. One of them, the first one is this: trust his promises. Trust his promises. That's number one. In verse 8, if you remember, it said this, "The Lord said to Joshua, 'Do not be afraid of them, for I have handed them over to you. Not one of them will be able to stand against you.'" God promises, I got this taken care of before the battle's even begun. I've got this taken care of. Do you know that the promises of God, His face is towards you, Sienna. His face is towards you, Cypress and downtown Espanola as well. He is a God that He has promised so many things to us. Let me just give you just some promises of God. I'll even give them to you in alphabetical order, 41 of them, real quick. Here we go. You ready? Some promises of God. All these got a scripture with them. Abundant life, a crown of life, a heavenly home, a new name, answers to prayer, assurance, cleansing, clothing, comfort, companionship, deliverance, divine sonship, everlasting life, fellowship of Jesus, fruitfulness, gifts of the Spirit, glory after death, God's protecting care, growth, guidance, hope, inheritance, joy, knowledge, liberty, peace, power for service, renewal, rest, restoration, resurrection, rich rewards, spiritual fullness, spiritual healing, spiritual light, spiritual treasures, strength, temporal blessings, understanding, victory, and wisdom. That's just 41, just listed out to you in alphabetical order, of promises of God. God has promised things to us. So we can go in the battle saying, "Lord, you'll never leave me or forsake me. No one can snatch me from your hand. Lord, you give peace that passes all understanding, and you guard my heart in Christ Jesus. Lord, for what can I fear? For what can man do to me? For I need to set my eyes on the things of heaven, not on the things of earth, so that I can know how wonderful and how great you are. You've given me salvation. You've given me forgiveness. You've surrounded me with your promises." There's a song on the radio by Michael W. Smith right now, and it's called Surround, and this is what it says. "This is how we fight our battles. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you." That's the whole song. Three lines. This is how we fight our battles. It may look like I'm surrounded. Have you ever felt like that? You hadn't lived long enough if you hadn't. But I'm surrounded by you. Promises of God. It's like you're looking out of the tent and say, "Oh, they're about to get us." And you look out the tent again and you see the heavenly armies on the mountainside. You go, "Okay, you got me, Lord." So number one is we trust Him with promises, with His promises to be truth. All of life is a chance to trust Him more. Number two is found in verse 9. Show up preparing to advance. Show up preparing to advance. Let me read you verse 9. Chapter 10, verse 9. Verse 8 was, "Don't worry about it. I got it. Not one of them will be able to stand against you." Verse 9 is this. "So Joshua caught them by surprise after marching all night from Gilgal." Joshua caught them by surprise after marching all night from Gilgal. Gilgal was about 25 miles away, and you had to ascend 4,000 feet. Okay? So think of above sea level. 4,000 feet for us would take us like from here to Colorado to get 4,000 feet higher. You know, Texas, we're pretty flat unless you get in this particular parts. But so they cruise along in 25 miles, then it goes up 4,000 feet and they march all night long. How tired do you think these soldiers are when they get there? An all-night march, some of you in the military maybe remember something like that, 25 miles, 4,000 feet of ascent, and they arrive, and they showed up, and now the sun rises, and it's time to fight. But they showed up prepared, ready to fight. They were ready to go. They were saying, "This is what God's called us to do. We're going to march all night. We're going to trust Him. We're going to keep walking with this." Show up prepared to advance. Many of us are showing up to our battles, and we're not prepared at all. We haven't spent any time with God. We haven't spent any time in the Word. We haven't spent any time thinking about this. We haven't spent any time praying about this. We just show up and go, "Hey, what are y'all doing?" It's like stepping onto a field of the NFL and you don't have a uniform, you don't have a jersey, you don't have shoulder pads, and J.J. Watt is running at you. How's that going to work? It's not going to work. But we trust so much in our personality and our experience that think we could just show up on the battlefield and figure out how to do it. It's not going to work. Richard Nixon said to Winston Churchill's son, he said, "Oh, I love the way your father could give such great extemporaneous speeches." And Winston Churchill's son said to Richard Nixon, he said, "Yes, I watched my dad prepare for hours on those extemporaneous speeches." It takes preparation in life, doesn't it? Let me pray about it. Let me think about it. Let me get some scriptures about it. Let me get some wisdom about it. Let me ask some questions about it. Let me receive some input about it. And then let me step into the battle. They marched 25 miles. They had to get ready for this battle. I've found in my life, if I'm going to have an appointment that is difficult or is important, or somehow it's like a, I need to be ready for this one type thing. Here's what I do, and I give this to you as well. If the appointment's at 2 o'clock, I just pretend like the appointment's at 1:45. And then at 1:45, I get down on my knees in my office, and I have a little prayer bench there in my office, and I pray for 15 minutes, sometimes more, sometimes less. But I pray, usually for 15 minutes, I set the appointment a little bit forward in my mind, and I pray for that appointment. Somebody that's going through a time of grief, through a time of hurt, I want to be ready for that. A conversation that's difficult, I want to be ready for that. And I can't just pop in from lunch and jump in and go, oh, okay, what happened? Yeah, and then just start making it up as I go. What's some scripture on that? I'll call people and ask for wisdom. Could you give me some wisdom on that? What do you think would be a good decision to do in this situation? And to be humble enough and prepared enough to then when you step into battle, and guess what? When you step in, it doesn't always go as well as you wish it would go either. But hey, at least I showed up ready to go. We, this past week, we were doing Houston 1:8. It's based on Acts chapter 1, verse 8, that throughout Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the earth that were sent out to be able to share the gospel. So we were in almost 50 sites across our city this last week. 50 sites. Now, I could only hit about two a night. I couldn't hit, 30 a night type of thing. So I would go out and I'd hit these different sites. And what I saw, this is what I saw. And for those of you that participated, we're so glad. It was about 1,300 plus from all campuses participating. Everybody in these gray shirts that you have to wash every night because you get so sweaty. I saw amazing preparation. We had food ready. We had games ready. We had our people assembled. We had our site ready. We had a police officer there in case something kind of went a little nuts. We were there for ready to go on every spot and then waiting for the people to come. We had prepared, we had tilled the ground, we'd partnered with other churches. We partnered with a church in our city that they're doing Harvey Relief all the time still. I went with the pastor into what used to be their gymnasium, and still every day in their neighborhood, they found a lady that's living in her car since Harvey. And they're just giving these supplies away, and you're a part of that. I'm a part of that. Our church is helping to fund those supplies in that gymnasium because they're closer to the action in that neighborhood that needs it a little bit more than maybe some of the neighborhoods we live in. And so that action is happening, but it comes from preparation. And so Joshua's people, they went into the battle, and they didn't just go in the battle just willy-nilly and say, well, I don't know what'll happen. They went in the battle and said, we're going for it, and we're ready. We got our swords, we got our shields, and we're going for it. But God's going to have to fight for us. God's going to fight for us. And you know what happened? If you heard it in verse 11, God did more of the battle than they did. It says that more were killed by hailstones and were killed by the swords of the people that were fighting for Israel. Now look at our last two, 3 and 4, in verse 12 through 14. And this gets to the meat of the message here. 12, here we go. On the day that the Lord gave the Amorites over to the Israelites. Remember I told you it's 5 Amorite kings? On the day that the Lord gave the Amorites over to the Israelites, Joshua spoke to the Lord in the presence of Israel. Sun, stand still. That's a big prayer. Over Gibeon. And the moon over the valley of Ajala. Verse 13. And the sun stood still and the moon stopped until the nation took vengeance on its enemies. Isn't this written in the book of Jashar? I'll tell you what that is in a minute. So the sun stopped in the middle of the sky and delayed its setting almost a full day. Now, there's been no day like this before when the Lord listened to a man because the Lord fought for Israel. Now, this is incredible. Number 3 is this. Number 1 was trust his promises. Number 2 is show up preparing to advance. And number 3 is pray and trust him with time. Pray and trust him with time. So Joshua looks up and he prays and he says, Lord, stop the sun in the sky. We don't have enough time to get this battle done. It's going to take longer, so we need you to stop the sun and the sky. And what happens in that moment is a 24-hour day becomes basically a 48-hour day on the rotation. Well, I don't know if I can really believe that. God created the sun. whole lot bigger to believe he created this whole thing than it is. He just slowed it down a little bit. In this prayer, God said, okay, we're going to slow this thing. We're going to stop it. God created the sun. He darkened the sun on the cross with Jesus. And here he slows it down. And we see that God is fighting his battle for him. And then Joshua says further in verse 13, it's kind of an interesting thing. Isn't this written in the book of Jashar? Now, what is that book? It always kind of throws me off when they mention, you know, another book in the Bible. Like, what is this like? This isn't like the Quran. This isn't, you know, the Book of Mormon. This isn't a holy document book where God said, there's another book out there that's my words. That's not what he's saying. This is a historical book is what this is. This book basically is a collection of songs interspersed with explanatory historical notices in the praise of the heroes of Israel. And the songs that must have been progressively accumulated is what it is. So this is like a history book of Israel. So what's he saying? You don't believe the sun stopped? Go check out the encyclopedia. It's right there. Go look in your history class. It's written in that book. He's saying, if you don't believe this because this is in the scriptures, you just need to believe it somewhere else. And all these people are like, oh yeah, we've heard this story. We've heard this one. He stopped the sun in the sky. The sun, the hydrogen, just explosion, that on a pinhead from the core heat would kill a man at a million miles, 93 million miles away, 11,000 degrees on its surface, 13 million centigrade in its core. And God goes, comma, boom. Let's just stop that right there. Pause. And then here it comes, and the battle. The Afters is a Christian group, and they have this song called Battles. This current is trying to wreck me like castles of sand. My fear like an enemy army is marching again, but I'm making a stand. You surround me on every side. Your love is my armor. I fear no evil. Darkness runs from your light, so I won't be afraid. I won't be afraid. You're going before me. The oceans are parting. You're fighting my battles. When my feet are falling and my heart is shaking, you're fighting my battles. You're fighting my battles. You're fighting my battles. You're fighting my battles. Here's something key. For God to fight your battles, you're going to have to trust his time frame. For God to fight your battles, you're going to have to trust his time frame. I know you want the cancer gone on the first round of chemotherapy, but you're going to have to trust his time frame. I know you want the job at the first interview, but you're going to have to trust his time frame. I know singles, you want that to be the one on the first time you see them. You're going to have to trust his time frame. I know parents, you want your kids to get it all together and learn in 20-minute sermon from you what it took you 20 years to learn in life. You're going to have to trust God's time frame. And what Joshua has here in trusting God's time frame, it's allowing God in his timing to trust or to work out and to fight the battle. And when we move too fast, we are trying to fight the battles on our own. Give time for God to move. Rarely have I ever been sorry that I waited and that I got more advice and more wisdom and more prayer and then moved in. Now, I'm not giving any of us a license for spiritual procrastination. There's a time to move. They came prepared. It was time to fight. So I'm not doing that. I'm asking you to have and me to have spiritual wisdom on trusting God's timing. We live in such a fast culture. Boom, 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 boom. Somebody, you emailed them like 30 minutes ago. Why have they not replied? You texted them 30 seconds ago. Why have they not replied? And so in this moment, we've got to trust God for his timing, his timing. So will you trust in his promises? Will you show up prepared? And will you trust in him? Would you trust him with time? Because this stopping of the sun, it changes time. He's outside of time. He's got a whole different thing. Well, I don't know if that really happened. Well, you could check the history books here, it's saying in Israel. This is God's timing. God's able to do this in his way. Number four, and finally, as we wrap up, realize his grace. Realize his grace. Move by his plan, not your perspective. Now, Joshua wins this battle. He's going to end up killing these five kings. But do you know how this all started? This whole thing of the sun stopping, you know how it all started? It started in chapter 9 on Joshua and his people making a bad decision. Joshua chapter 9, verse 14 and 15. I want you to look at it. Here's what it is. It says this, "Then the men of Israel took some of their provisions, but did not seek the Lord's counsel." Now let's leave this, or verse 15. "So Joshua established peace with them and made a treaty to let them live, and the leaders of the community swore on an oath to them." Go back to 14 if you can. In this, we see that they sought the provisions, but they did not seek the Lord's counsel. Now, what does this mean? The people of Gibeon that they're trying to protect in this battle, because the five kings are coming against Gibeon, Joshua's come in to protect them. How did Joshua and the Gibeonites become friends? The Gibeonites tricked them. They came and they put all their stuff in their satchels, and they put old bread, and they went, "Oh, we've been traveling a long way, and we've been here in our tattered clothes." Basically, here's what they did. They live in Conroe, and they put a bunch of bread that looked like they lived in Michigan, and they showed up in downtown Houston. And they said, "Oh, we've been traveling from Michigan, and we've been, oh." And Joshua and his people didn't seek the Lord. They just went, "Wow, that is old bread. Man, you do have holes in your pants." Which now jeans with holes in your knees cost like twice as much. You know, so don't look at that. So in this, the Gibeonites, they trick them. And Joshua does not seek the counsel of the Lord. He just looks and goes, "This is what we'll do. We'll make a treaty with you because you're far off. We're trying to gain land up there too. We'll make a treaty with you, no problem." And then they find out in the rest of chapter 9 that they've been tricked. And now they got to go battle because they gave their word to fight for these people. All of this is based on grace. Do you see it? It's based on grace. Joshua made a bad decision, and God in his grace fought the battle for Joshua. All of this is from a bad decision. He didn't include prayer in his decision. He didn't include seeking the Lord's counsel in his decision. He just looked at what it was and decided. And it was based in grace that God showed up. And do you know what? That's how every battle God will fight for you will be the same. It's based in grace. The big burly boy named Shannon, that's grace for me. That's somebody intersecting on my behalf. And that's what the cross of Jesus Christ is about. And we at all campuses are going to go to the Lord's Supper table in just a second. And we're going to take the body, and we're going to take the blood. And if you're a believer in Christ, participate. If you haven't trusted in Christ, this is just for the family of those that are Christians that have trusted in Jesus. And we're going to say, "You know what? In your grace, Lord, I made so many decisions just looking on the surface without seeking your counsel. But in your grace, this body, this blood." God will fight battles for you. Don't fight against him. Position yourself for God to fight for you. His face is towards you. Trust in his promise. Be prepared for action. Pray and trust him with time. And then realize it's all based in his grace. And that's the cross of Christ. Father, we come in Jesus' name to the Lord's Supper table. All campuses, all throughout our city. And we come, Father, knowing that you have fought the biggest battle ever possible for us. And that battle, Lord, is a battle over sin, over eternity. And so we thank you, God, that you fought that and that you won. And we ask Jesus that if there's anybody in the sound of my voice, any campus all over the city, Lord, that hasn't trusted you to win the battle on the cross for forgiveness, that they place their faith and trust in you as Savior, that you'd step in as they're just getting walloped, and you would be the Savior. Stop the sun in the sky, Lord, and fight our battles for us. And may we remember that as believers as we go to the Lord's Supper table. Jesus' name.